This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. An important detail from Chile, from the New World, from South America, questioning whether the trend over these last years towards authoritarian governments, first there's a vote, then there's a leader who changes the constitution, and then there are no more votes. We welcome Emmanuel Ottolenghi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. And we go to Santiago, Chile, where the results are in on the 54,000-word new draft of the Constitution, rejected by the people of Chile. Emanuele, is this good news?
The referendum in Chile was not on whether to keep the Pinochet Constitution or embrace democracy. And this should be clear, not just by the results of the referendum, which rejected resoundedly the new constitution, but also by the original referendum embracing the need for a transition to a new document. In that instance, the vast overwhelming majority of Chileans voted for change. What the same Chileans rejected on Sunday is not a return to or a transition to a more democratic system that cuts its connections with a compromised authoritarian past, but it was a constitution that was overwhelmingly tilted to the left, that did not address the needs of a modern country as Chile is, that did not confront its problems, that created too many concerns from budgetary to establishing essentially sovereign jurisdictions for the indigenous communities. It was a tilt to the left that a significant majority of Chileans, not just from the right, but also from the center and center left, simply did not agree with. And I think that the result is salutary for the country because it will now push the government of Gabriel Boric to confront reality and try to come up with a solution that will endeavor to draft a new constitution that is more consensual, that will enjoy vast consensus from all corners of society and politics in Chile.
Malcolm?
Would you call this buyer's remorse that so soon after an election, a 36-year-old, really pretty much a novice, gets elected? It was seen as a big victory for Iran. It was seen as a big victory for the extremist forces and probably the most extreme prime minister since Allende's days, or maybe even before, that now, coming after this overwhelming 80% saying they want a change in the Constitution, that two-thirds rejected. It's not a marginal victory. It's a statement. Do you think that, in fact, it's the people saying we didn't realize what we were buying, or sending a message to him that this is not the kind of constitution they can live with?
I think it's a strong message to this government and to those who back the new constitution that, as you said it, this is not what we were asking for. This is not what we endorsed. We need something that is more centrist, more consensual, more responsible, more intelligible also. And what I think you're seeing with the Boric government is this. Here is a young politician, clearly intelligent, clearly charismatic, and a good political operator, but fundamentally driven by ideology and inexperience. And once he comes into power and enters the Palacio de la Moneda to lead the country, he is confronted by reality. Reality bites. It bites when it comes to the economy. It bites when it comes to security. It bites when it comes to the Mapuche problem. And it bites on budgetary issues, on the economy, and so on. And one by one, a lot of the rigid ideological tenets driving the president and his coalition, come tumbling down as they meet reality. Now, in the past, we have seen leaders in the region who, when reality confronts their ideology, they let the ideology trump reality. And in the process, like we've seen in Venezuela, like we've seen in Bolivia, like we've seen in Nicaragua, they bring the country down with it and ignore the realities and what they require. What we're seeing with Boric is actually something else. We're seeing an attempt to recalibrate, to reconcile his ideological worldview with the real challenges that he now confronts, not as a student activist or a political operator inside parliament, but as the president.
Emanuele, all eyes on Santiago for these next days, but all eyes on Brasilia as well. There's an election there that pits an old president identified with the left with a new president identified with the right. Is there a lesson to be taken from the people of Santiago, or is this a separate world?
Well, each country in Latin America has its own quirks and its own issues and its own realities, although some of the ideological trends, of course, transcends borders. I think that in Brazil's situation, what we need to come to terms with is, and maybe there is a comparison with Chile, because in Chile you had some very competent, more centrist, left of center, right of center candidates that simply didn't make it to the runoff. You had the extremes basically fighting it over. And what we're seeing in Brazil is the same. We have a sitting president who cannot be defined as a success, who has been very idiosyncratic, who has failed to address some of the challenges that its country has. But on the other hand, we have a return of the old left with the stain of considerable corruption, systemic corruption from the previous presidencies of Lula and his predecessor, Dilma Rousseff. So you have a situation in Brazil where voters are confronted with two probably equally bad choices, neither of which will be able to address the challenges that the country faces. And in that sense, I think you can see a similarity with what happened in Chile a few months ago with the election of Boric.
Malcolm, we have about a minute.
I'll ask you quickly about Argentina, about the status of the plane and whether the attempt on Kirchner's life has motivated people to rally behind her.
I think that that's the play by the oficialista side to sort of cast her as a victim when the prosecution has asked for her to go to jail for 12 years. And it seems that her clout over the country and her political career are over. But the plane is a separate story. It is now on a judicial track. And what seems to be happening is two things. One, the request by the U.S. to seize the plane and eventually move it out of Argentina is moving forward through the judicial system. So is the investigation against the crew and the motives for the plane's arrival and travel across Latin America. But at the same time, we're seeing mounting pressure through basically a public relations campaign by Venezuela and the pro-Iranian, pro-Venezuelan outlets and actors in Argentina, with mounting pressure on the prosecution and the judiciary to fold. And so in a sense, that's where the convergence is. It's an attack on the institutions, the independent institutions such as the judiciary in Argentina. And as we know, that is the main target for all of these soft authoritarian movements and regimes try to undermine and corrode the independent institutions in the country so that they can be manipulated for the political outcomes they hope.
Are you encouraged by the vote of the people of Chile?
I am encouraged. Of course, the challenges ahead are significant. Chile is in recession.
Yes.
Chile has come out of a lot of unrest. But I think that the vote is a vote for common sense, and hopefully the politicians will follow through.
Emanuele Atalenghi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow, Malcolm Hoenlein. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.